Welcome to Proudly Resents. It's Adam Spiegelman. Thank you so much for listening to the show. We listened to the show last week for the first time to hear the interview with Sandy, who claims he directed The Room instead of Tommy Wiseau. Thank you for listening and keep listening. If you did hear the show, we'd love to hear from you and hear what you thought of it. Our hotline number, which is very hot. Hot! 646-481-5476. Leave a message. We'll play it on the air. What you thought about the interview? Do you think he's right to ask for credit now or money now? What do you think he should do? What do you think of the movie? And yes, let me just say, this is my excited voice. This is the way I sound, people. I can't help it. Go to our website, proudlyresents.com. Hit contact. Find all the ways to reach us. David Schoenholtz did a great job redesigning the website and the logo. So go to our site at least just to check out his work. He's really good. Hire the guy. Jeez, doing podcasts. The guy's ready to work. For the love of Christmas. Leave a message or email me. We'll play in the next episode in a couple weeks. We will play your responses. Tonight's Nail Gun Massacre review is a listener's choice, listener's suggestion. I cannot find where I put the listener's email. I know it's in my computer somewhere. I get it. I get how computers work. I still lost it. Okay. Apologize. If it was you, you still listen to me and you haven't given up on this show, write me back. Take full credit. I will send you a prize, a Real People t-shirt, probably, if you get that reference. God bless you. And yes, any other listeners' suggestions that we use on the air, we will give a prize. And I promise not to forget who you are. But thank you for listening. Thank you so much. This is an awesome film. ProudlyResents.com.
To all you Proudly Resents listeners out there, just remember, you can't piss on hospitality. I won't allow it.
All right, this is Adam Spiegelman, and you're listening to Proudly Resents. Todd Levin was nice enough to join me today.
Hello.
Hello, Todd. And we're going to talk about Nail Gun Massacre. This is a great film that one of our fans was nice enough to email me and say, you have to see it.
You said I had to see it.
Yeah, I made Todd watch it afterwards. Todd, thank you for coming. You are, of course, the writer of the book Sex, Our Bodies, Our Junk. Conan O'Brien writer and writer for GQ at one point.
That's right.
All right, great. We'll start with the movie. I'm just stalling because this movie is so bad.
Because you almost don't want to talk about it, right?
I don't want to talk about this movie. Nail Gun Massacre came out in 1985.
If this movie came out today, it would be released straight to YouTube.
If YouTube would have it, yeah. I went on YouTube to look at reviews of this film, and some guy got thrown off of YouTube because he reviewed this movie.
Because he reviewed it positively or because he spoke about it?
I think because he showed clips. That was why I got thrown off. But he made it sound like the movie was so bad they threw him off YouTube.
So this is actually copyrighted, this movie. It's not public domain.
No. Here's the deal. Some guy, the director of the film who they interview on the DVD, that's why I know so much, Terry Lofton. And you also know Terry wrote, directed, and produced and starred in it because his name is...
His name appears in the credits about as often as Tommy Wiseau's name appears in The Room. It's just all over it.
And it's bigger than a skyscraper. It's almost as big as the title of the movie is his name. Like, first it's there, huge.
It's there before you see anything else. It doesn't even say a Tony Lofton film. It just says Tony Lofton. Just huge.
And then he starts peeing on the film print. I mean, he makes sure there's a point that you know this is his film. So I guess this is shot within, outside of Dallas, but he worked on, he said, Dukes of Hazzard. He said he worked on the
shows.
I know, but he said his job was to drive the car around to different car shows. Mm-hmm. So he goes back to Texas. He buys up some film equipment. He learns how to shoot relatively well.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's generous.
He taught himself.
How to shoot.
And then he saw some buddies at a construction site fighting with nail guns. And he goes, they're shooting each other with nail guns.
Oh, like as play, which actually figures into the movie later.
Yeah, that is a scene in the movie.
There's an homage to that moment, his moment of inspiration. Okay.
That was his moment of inspiration. He goes, this would make a great killer film. So he shoots it on his own with local people. He said, some right out of acting school, which I think is generous also. The first complaint is the movie starts at the beginning, meaning like there's no setup.
You have no idea. It starts out. You have no idea who any of the characters are. It's just...
Where they are.
Where they are. How they're related to each other. It's just a woman being raped in a pile of dirt by about 14 guys.
At least 14.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the movie, yeah. The movie asks that question. How many construction workers does it take to rape a woman? And you do, you feel that way because I think it's only like one guy who, well, at least in the scene that you see.
Well, the one scene we see.
It seems that there's one guy raping her while the other 13 are holding her down.
It takes 13 to hold her, and they're rooting him on, and
yeah,
it's pretty awful.
Right, they all have various roles. Some are holding her down, some are rooting him on, and high-fiving.
Yeah. It was awkward that they have those little pennant flags that say yeah. rape on it.
Some are selling
and
concessions.
And the word number one.
Yeah.
And 14
number
life.
One rapist.
Yeah, yeah, that was awkward. But the reason is that's the first scene you see, like before anything
it's
else.
It's shocking.
It's shocking, but he's now saying it's a horror comedy. No comedy started out with a gang rape.
That is the thing, yeah, you know? And that's the typical defense of somebody whose film has been skewered and reviled for a good 10 or 15
Tommy
years.
Tommy Wiseau was another.
He sees
great
enough
film.
Of the people reviewing his film. He's like, "No, I meant to do this."
Oh, that is funny. Yeah, I meant that to be funny.
Yeah, he did not mean it to be funny.
No, I mean again, except for a Leslie Nielsen film, not many comedies open up with gang rape.
No,
no, you know that's one of the original rules. Charlie Chaplin said that. if I could think of other silent comedians.
Uh-huh. I'm not. I'm not playing along. I'm not going to yes and you on this.
Please, because my mind is going blank.
You're going to name famous comedies that start with a rape.
No, I know none.
Okay.
But I'm being sarcastic that.
Toys in Babeland.
Besides Laurel and Hardy's Christmas classic, Babes in Toyland, not many start in rape. So it's a revenge movie, I guess. Because now, all of a sudden, the next scene, after we see the guy's name in big letters.
Yes.
And then they
go. No idea how much time has passed.
Nope.
It doesn't say. It's
could
just
be,
the next scene. It could
it feels
be,
like the next
it could
scene.
Be the next afternoon.
That's how it feels, yes. actually. Yes. It's shot like immediately after. Now
it might have even been shot before. Like, I don't know.
Maybe
you
that
could
was
be
a
going
flashback.
Back in time.
There's somebody with a black helmet, which is a helmet painted black.
A motorcycle helmet with electrical tape.
Electrical tape covering the visor as much as possible.
Yeah.
And holding a gun. And a little person, right? Like
a very tiny person with a small waist.
With a small waist.
Very obviously a small waist. Moves delicately and, effeminately.
Right.
Yeah.
Throughout. So,
so
it's blatantly that it's this woman.
But has a sort of affected voice. They use some sort of like synthesis or a synthesizer on their voice to disguise it so everybody thinks it's a man. And I'm giving this a lot of credit by saying this,
okay.
that I figured this out. Because every time the person in the motorcycle helmet with a nail gun approaches a victim, they'll go, "What are you doing here, man?" They always say that just so we know that they think it's also a man.
Sure.
Even if we don't think it's a man.
So it tells you that it's this woman is really, it hides that it's the woman as much as possible.
Yeah, as much as possible.
So yeah, the director wanted the killer to have a voice because not many of them do. So he gave it a synthesized voice so you wouldn't know whether it was a man or a woman.
Correct.
So it kills people, this killer, and then does a really bad one-liner, like a yippee-ki-yay kind of
super one-liner. Super dry, shitty one-liners every single time.
It's kind of
sometimes
like,
multiple one-liners, like almost like, okay, like I can imagine the victim just going, "I get it." You know?
The victim is dying with nails in their head, and they're like, "Okay, this is salt in the wound right now.
Right.
Yeah. You know what I would love you not to joke about? Me dying would be great at this moment. They shoot it. He shoots people in the hand, and then they're like, "I'm going to die." Like, he immediately shoots one nail at him.
Yeah, that's the other thing, is that the person, they're never mortal wounds.
No.
At all. They're just, they'll get shot in the hand. If it's a woman, she will get shot in the breasts.
Right in the chest plate.
Yeah. And then they die. But they die a long, grueling death.
It takes a while to die.
The camera lingers.
Because they're filling
they give
up
all
time.
These really bad actors and non-actors really long, dramatic death scenes.
I just to jump around. We'll talk about the sex scene in a second. But a man dies. He falls down. The woman dies, and she's going to fall on top of him. And when she falls, her arm is between her and him, but it's more dramatic for it to be over him. So she's dead. Mm-hmm. She's falling down from gravity. Mm-hmm. Her arm hits the guy, then the arm flies up and goes over him. Like,
oh, I didn't even notice that.
She got one more moment of life in her to get a better shot.
Oh, the other thing we should point out. Okay, so what happens is after this rape scene and the credits, which have Tony Loughton's name about 100 times in them, the very next scene is one of the guys, and you'd have to have been paying very, very close attention to the previous rape scene to know that this guy was even in that scene.
No idea.
Yeah. He was. I had to go back and look. He was in that scene, but there's no way to know that. It turns out,
the
killer, he's one of the rapists. The killer shows up at his house and nail guns him. And another thing you should point out is that the outfit that the killer's wearing, besides having the face obscured by a motorcycle helmet, and also wearing all black and a camouflage outfit so they can't be seen, but they're wearing a bright yellow canister of compressed air strapped to their back. Like, it's the most obvious looking thing.
Let's say camouflage worked like it should. Like, you don't see anything.
Even if it did work.
Even if it did work, you're like, why is there floating yellow? Why
is there a line? Huge, crazy yellow canister of compressed air. They didn't bother to paint that. Yeah, so the killer, the idea, you think in the beginning, is that this killer, out of revenge, is picking off the rapists one by one.
Right.
The rapists who you don't really remember because you only saw them for 30 seconds.
And you kind of didn't really want to look.
And you didn't want to look, and there were so many of them. But yeah, that's kind of what's happening. Also, I have no idea what any of the characters' names were in this film.
Or who they were. I don't even remember the first victim. How was he killed? Was he shot in the head?
He was killed with a nail gun.
Oh, he was? Yeah. Oh, that's interesting.
It turns out. He was shot, I believe, first through the hand. Shot through the hand and forehead.
Right, that's the nail. It goes all the way through the hand.
Goes through the hand into his head, and then a couple of other extra times.
And a lot of people die, or the killer will shoot the hand. They'll make them put their hands together on a board.
And then nail their hands together.
And they can't get out of it.
Correct.
Like, it's, really, you can't.
The single nail, they can't do it.
Yeah, they're stuck. And yeah, so the guy gets a nail through his hand, and you got to imagine, like, just through his skull, or just into his head, and he's dead.
Yeah, because I think the killer's clever line in that death scene is something like, ever get one of those headaches right between the eyes? Something like that.
That was yeah. Too busy laughing. I couldn't hear the rest of it. And then we go on to the scene, the obligatory nude scene.
The very next scene is the sex scene.
It was the sex scene.
Between two other people we don't know.
Or why. We have no idea why they're there. You know what? At one point I wrote down, because there's a bunch of scenes that don't make sense that are put together that end with someone shooting. It's like little plays. Right? Like little pageant plays, and then for some reason the killer comes out and kills him.
Well, that's actually what it seems like. It seems like a series of short stories about different people.
Raymond Carver gone really wrong.
That end with some complete stranger jumping into the scene and murdering them with a nail gun.
That would be
They're like little morality plays, but yeah. They have nothing, they're not interconnected in any way.
And they're not all bad people. You know, they're...
No.
I mean, besides the rapists, obviously, but the stories don't, you know, show people, like, doing bad things.
No.
Oh, the first guy who gets killed is yelling at his wife. Like, you know, you want
to bring him a shirt.
Bring him a shirt, and then he gets killed. Because you figure all these victims have to do something wrong. Like, this guy, what did
they
he
have
do
to
wrong?
Deserve it, yeah.
Yeah, he married a woman who doesn't know how to do laundry. Listen, he should have done better. I'll cut that joke out. But the it feels like this movie was a parade of bad...
I think it starts off kind of on track, even though it's sloppy, because... Okay, it's a cause and effect. This person was raped. Next scene, one of the rapists is killed with a nail gun. It's like cause and effect. The next person we learn through a long series of events was also at that rape scene. I don't remember him, but he was there. We know he's there. He's killed. So you're kind of on track for a little while. But very shortly after that, people are just being killed left and right for just being in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Yeah,
like having a picnic.
That was the picnic.
Kissing,
was bad.
Kissing at a makeout spot. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. Well, let's go back to the first sex scene. They, this woman is topless, and the whole time just topless and talking to him topless and trying to get in bed. It turns out that the guy made the movie. He tried to get a distributor, and the distributor felt like there wasn't enough breasts in the movie, so he made him do a reshoot
with added sex scenes.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he found the one actor that was available, the one who dies in the very next scene.
Okay.
Gets him, hires this woman who is a pinup model. Mm-hmm. Apparently he saw her, or a centerfold, hired her to be an actress.
Okay.
And he shot, it was him, the two people, and a new sound guy. And he said that the sound took all day because the sound guy kept asking her questions. I.e., the sound guy is hitting on the naked actress who's sitting there. And the guy and the director never stopped him, so they took him all day.
He didn't have a lot of power on this film, even though he had 40 credits in the film.
There's only one other crew member, him.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's the guy. So the movie took longer because someone's flirting with the naked actress.
But at least he nailed the scene.
Hello.
Yeah, he really...
Nice. One of the things you talked about, the people making out, and they go to make out point. That scene took... It should just be a guy's in a convertible with a girl. They go to make out point. She fights them off. They start to have sex. The nail gun comes and kills them. But there's like two or three scenes before that. out of the blue. The movie like stops at a halt.
Yeah, there's a long scene to set up their backstories. Again, that have nothing to do with the film, just that they had to have interesting backstories. Like he had an awkward relationship with... He takes his date. She says she wants to go somewhere fancy. And he goes, is this place good enough? And she says, yes. Then they pull in and she says, no. It turns out it's not good enough. It's some sort of drive-in place that has a $1.19 grilled cheese and fries special. And the only reason I even know that is because it's mentioned about 30 times in that scene.
Right.
He keeps saying, give me that $1.19 special. And it turns out at this drive-in restaurant, the waitress is an ex-girlfriend of his, I think.
Right, or an ex-lover.
Of his. And he'd forgotten that she worked there.
And he goes, dope.
Yeah,
and
so that gave him some kind of backstory, I guess. And then, yeah.
And then the waitress takes the order, goes to the chef, complains,
yeah.
Goes back, and then complains to the chef again. Like, it felt like they dropped the same scene in twice. It seems like he didn't know what he was doing. Maybe I'm wrong there.
I think by that point, you know that he doesn't know what he's doing. This is about 40 minutes into the film. You've had many, like, there's a ton of supporting evidence to let you know that this guy doesn't know what he's doing. That scene was almost like a breath of fresh air.
It was like another movie. It was like American Graffiti all of a sudden came in. You're like, oh, thank God. It's another film. And then it's nighttime and they're making out and then they're on top of the hood of the car having sex.
Right. And the scene where they're making out in the car goes on for, I want to say, about 10 minutes. It's just endless.
We're waiting for something
to
happen.
And I figured the only reason it went on that long is because the director is like, well, there are breasts in this scene. That's something. People will watch this, so I just have to let this go on as long as it needs to.
They will put up with, and we did, because we knew from this guy from earlier scenes that he will deliver. He also said that they're in a convertible, like a two-seater, mm-hmm. and apparently he never realized that car is too small for them to have sex in.
Okay.
Or to shoot a sex scene in.
Okay.
So the actor improvised for them to get out of the car and have sex on the hood.
So all the sort of weird gyrations in the car or the kind of uncomfortable positions, or that was purely improv?
It was improv. No, it was them trying to make this scene work. Like, how do we have... You said to have sex in the car. We did not rehearse this.
Oh, I thought that was played for comedy. Plan this.
No, they just had no idea. Well, now it is, yes. If you ask them now, it is.
It was very funny.
So they go in the hood of the car. Nail gun guy kills him. She runs back into the car.
Then comes back out again.
And says, you killed him.
Yes.
And then he's like... then nail gun killer is like, you're next, which is really dumb.
There's a lot that's dumb in this movie. Really, everything in this movie is dumb. It's just one of those, like, it's really, really sloppy the way it's made. Everything about it, like, there's a lot of stuff where I think probably 8 people are killed with a nail gun before the police and a local physician are able to piece together that these crimes are related.
Yeah, he's like, dead guy.
Yeah, there's another dead person filled with nails.
And sheriff complains. He's like, all of a sudden people are dying? This sucks. It's not New Jersey. They're not dying of cancer. They're all dying of the same nail gun. Let's talk about the sheriff. And we'll talk about the doctor.
Maybe the best actor in the film, the sheriff.
The sheriff is great. He's a big, burly guy. He comes out. He's got no uniform, except he does have a holster. I was kind of...
That's probably his own gun. He probably just brought it to the set that day.
That's how he got hired.
This was Texas.
Yeah, so he's a huge guy. He comes out of this regular car.
Yeah. He's not even driving a sheriff's car.
It's no.
Like, yeah, he's driving like a Chevy Cavalier.
When he talks into the CB, no one responds. Do you notice that?
Nope. No one
he's like, does. Oh, I see a car parked inside the road. And he calls it in and no one says 10-4. And they use those sound effects later on, so you know they own them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they can do it. So anyway, he... calls in a doctor.
The only person he has any contact with is a local physician. He doesn't have backup units or anything.
No.
You never see an ambulance or anything.
Nope.
It's just him and this doctor who dresses like Neil Diamond.
He's got a denim jacket.
Yeah, and a t-shirt.
And they call him on it right away. The sheriff says, why aren't you wearing whites?
Right.
And he makes up some excuse. But meanwhile, the sheriff's not dressed like a cop.
Right.
Like, you can't, who are you talking?
We know why he's not wearing surgical scrubs.
Yeah.
They couldn't afford them.
Right, and the same reason.
Yeah.
Yeah. If I was a doctor, I would ad lib.
Yes.
The same
reason the killer is wearing a motorcycle helmet with electrical tape over the visor.
There's no money.
No.
But so the doctor shows up a lot and tries to crack this case. But here's what bothers me about that. Let's say you're a sheriff, Todd, mm-hmm. and you find a dead body.
Sure. That's what sheriffs do.
Well, are you going to call a doctor?
Probably not. Doctor can't do much about it.
It's too late.
Yeah. He's dead. But he does. He has him come look at all the bodies.
Right. Oh, every time.
Yeah, every time. He's like, there are multiple victims. And they'll even say, like, you said there were two bodies. I only see one. And he'll go, well, let me take you over to where the other dead body is.
There's
and
more
to
they body.
Show that body. And he's like, yeah, this guy's dead too. There's a lot of that. You weren't kidding. He's also dead.
Thanks for showing us that. There's a lot of things shot in real time. Mm-hmm. And I think that was your complaint about the makeout session. Like, they would make out for 15 minutes before he tried to, you know, have sex
with us. They might, yeah.
So let's just do that. There's also, I don't know if you've seen Macon County Line.
It's
a great movie that Dukes of Hazzard was kind of based on.
Right.
And it was about two drifters, and they're driving through town. And so there's kind of a Macon County Line tribute in this movie, too, where there's those two drifters with the two hot chicks with them,
right.
Two motorcycle guys.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And they're looking for work at a construction site.
They're looking
site.
For work.
And then they go have a picnic. They go to a construction site where the woman, the victim, works, and her father.
Correct.
Works. And
the rape victim, at that point, this is the first time we've seen her since the rape. I didn't even realize she still worked at the construction site.
That's true.
Or that she decided to keep her job after she was raped by the entire staff of the construction company.
Well, she yells at customers. You see that?
Yes.
She runs out to the car.
But she kept her job, and she also kept the same clothes she was raped in. She was wearing the exact same outfit she was raped in the next scene that we see
for
her
the,
in.
The next scene for the whole movie.
Yeah, yeah.
She's wearing the same outfit, just so you know it's her.
I guess.
So you don't get confused, because the one other woman in the whole film could be somebody else.
These drifters show up at her construction site. They're looking for work. And after she yells at them for a while, they send these guys to a place that they keep referring to as the Old Bailey place. Old Lady Bailey or something, who we never see. But she apparently lives in a spooky old house, which we also really don't see that much.
We don't see the house.
We see a little bit of the inside and a little bit of the outside. And there are some people staying there. Again, we don't quite know why.
And they're not dead.
No. They show up at the house and nobody's there to give them work, so that they decide to have a picnic. Because that's what you do.
Yeah, when you need work.
When you need to kill time.
Just have a picnic.
Throw down a picnic. So they have a picnic, which turns into a fuck fest. Right. So
two
very
people
quickly
go
turns
off
into a fuck
in
fest.
In the woods to have sex, yeah. Mm-hmm. And they're naked and they're rubbing up against each other. And
they're standing up.
Against a tree.
They're standing up against a tree and they're rubbing up against each other.
Right?
It's
like,
profane.
It's profane.
It's horrible to look at.
Physical,
no,
physically
it's not possible.
Yeah. No. Well, the director again said that he was underneath them. While they're naked.
Why was he?
Because he wanted to squirt he had to get underneath to squirt the, with the tube, the blood out of his head.
Oh, I see.
So he's underneath shooting or getting ready to squirt. And sorry to say this, but he said people ask if they actually were having sex. And he said, no, but it was as close as it could be. Like,
well,
wow.
Sure.
Yeah. And then the guy got a divorce immediately after his wife saw that scene.
The actor did?
Yeah.
It's really graphic.
It's really graphic and not possible.
Like, no.
So you're giving us all this graphic, but not actual sex. It's just like mathematically impossible porn. I wasn't turned on as much as I was confused.
There's a lot of confusing stuff in it.
So he gets shot in the head, and then he instantly dies, and then she gets shot. And that's the scene where he falls first.
Yeah.
She falls on top of him. And then she realizes her arm is covering up her breast. So even though she's dead, she moves her arm out.
Do you remember? I wish I could remember what the killer said when he killed them both.
Oh, we can find that out.
Because I'm sure there was some awesome quip.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, there's a great, okay. There's a great moment in the picnic scene after.
There's two couples. One couple went off to have sex and died.
There's a couple that goes off to have sex. They die. And then the other couple remains on a blanket where they're smoking weed and kind of making out a little bit. And the gentleman in that couple says, hey, our friends haven't come back for a long time. Let me go search the woods for them.
She's kind of freaking out a little bit.
His girlfriend is kind of freaking out a little bit. She wants to go with him, and he insists that she stays there in case they come back. So he leaves, and I guess it's taking him a long time to come back, because there's a scene where the girl who's been left behind is sitting on her blanket, freaking out.
Just having the worst time.
Just she's freaking out. And they just keep the camera on her. And you can tell the director's just like, go with it. And she's just going, it's forever.
So here she is. It looks kind of normal.
It's an acting exercise is what it is.
So here, her husband, she doesn't know this, but her boyfriend, his hands just got shot to a tree. Mm-hmm. So he can't go anywhere. So he's not dead.
She doesn't know if anybody's dead. She's just lonely.
All right, so he's like, this sucks. I'm stuck to a tree. You get it? The guy, the killer said hang around for a while because he's stuck to a tree.
And he dies that way.
Sure.
From one nail in the hands.
One nail. Well, he eventually dies of starvation and boredom. And by the way, again, this scene will not end. No, I'm waiting for the next scene.
There are a lot of...
One nail and
Tony Lofton learned how to shoot, but he did not learn how to edit.
No. So here she is. She's sitting there. She's calm. She looks like Cyndi Lauper a little bit. Or Leather Tuscadero meets Cyndi Lauper.
Jane Wiedlin.
She's sitting there, calm. What's going on? Looking around.
Camera has not moved.
No. Oh, weird music. Sitting the music is also randomly timed.
The music is very over the top, too.
Yeah, but I think it was like completely unsynced with the whole movie.
Yes. The only thing, the music is like super, like, overly scary. The only thing it's missing is just a voice going, murder, murder, murder.
So here's it. Now she's getting a little more freaked out, so she puts on a jacket. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, this whole time, nothing really has happened.
Now we get a dramatic push in because he's really enjoying this.
A little crazy.
This is where the director borrowed a lot from Robert Altman. He just lets it play out. Now she's getting very emotional.
He said, this one's for us. This is, take one.
This is for her reel.
Oh my God, I'd love to see a reel. Only two of these actors have gone on to do anything after this. And luckily, the director has not made another movie since.
Oh, I'm surprised.
Yeah, you'd think.
Not a sequel?
The interviewer asked him about a sequel. They very badly set it up for a sequel.
Because I did not see the ending of this film. I should point that out.
Yeah, you're a fraud.
I did not make it to the end.
All right, now it's about...
Hold on, we've been watching this scene for 15 minutes. You are visibly older.
I am. My beard is almost complete.
I'm hungry now.
I finished my game of chess.
The camera has not moved. It's still on her. She's still freaking out.
You know, they shoot one long take. It's like Woody Allen. He's like Woody Allen. Oh.
And then a guy spooks her.
Yeah, one of the people. This is what I don't understand. Some normal guy grabs her out of nowhere and he's shaking her because she's so scared.
Shaking her to death.
Yeah. Yes. Like, wouldn't you just let go and be like, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to scare you, but instead I'll shake you more.
I mean, there's no point in questioning any of this, but if we're going to question that, let's also question this. She's sitting in an open field, screaming and crying. This guy sees this clearly. This is something that would be obvious from a good 50 to 100 feet away. Mm-hmm. He sees a woman screaming and crying, and he thinks, what is the best way to find out what's going on here and maybe help her? I could call out her name, ask her if something's wrong, or... maybe if I can find a way, I will sneak up behind her and grab her roughly on the shoulder and scream, what's wrong?
What's wrong? And keep shaking her and then stab her.
That's the route he went. He decided to go with that direction.
He could have gone further. He could have strangled her. He could have hit her with a rock till she died. There's no reason to be upset. I will not hurt you. Oh, I'm hurting you.
So these two are safe for now.
We never see them again, by the way. They live.
Oh, is that right?
I never see these people again. Okay. And even the boyfriend who's stuck to the tree, we don't see him either.
We don't see him again.
We assume he disintegrates into nothingness.
We know he's murdered. We hear that. I think we heard that three bodies were found.
Oh, three bodies. Yeah. Oh, good. Okay. I mean, not good that he died.
When the doctor shows up and examines them all to make sure they're dead.
Well, let me just say, too, it's fictional family. I did not mean to say that. I'm glad that he died. I'm glad that they wrapped up the storyline.
Oh, and by the way, I know this is off subject, but at one point in the film, a woman is found dead in a creek. And who is that? Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
This is after...
So you watching Twin Peaks?
No. There's a woman found dead in a running stream of water.
He stole from River's Edge.
And there's a kind of crazy old redneck who's clearly not an actor.
Right.
Who's telling the cops, you got to get this dead body out of my creek. And he's like, don't worry about it. Just leave it there. An ambulance will come and get it later.
I think he didn't know that this was a movie and there really is a dead body in the creek in this town.
That was just a coincidence.
Yeah, it was a coincidence. Okay. Yeah.
He had been killed with a nail gun. Who was that woman?
I don't know.
Okay.
Because it was a whole side plot that went nowhere about the old lady with the haunted house.
Yes.
Who killed people.
I had a feeling that doesn't go anywhere.
It doesn't go anywhere either. Okay. And in the beginning, there's also...
Because in the beginning, the sheriff has a theory that all of the people who are being murdered are being murdered on this... old lady's property.
And by her.
Maybe by her or maybe by somebody. After about 20 minutes, we realize only a few of the people are being murdered on this property. Many people are being murdered in other places. For instance, there is a guy later in the film. Again, I have no idea if he's connected to the rape, if he's in the construction business at all, but he is a suburban dad and he's killed while tending to his grill.
That was weird. That was a weird scene. And again, the sound is completely off.
The sound's off, and the nail gun killer had been hiding in his pool underwater.
Underwater.
I have no idea how long.
For days.
It could have been days. just waiting crouching. For this moment.
Yeah, like, oh, you know, after 15 minutes, like, oh, you know, my knees are hurting from crouching so long. Oh, and I'm dying.
But she really committed to the bit.
Yeah, she jumped out of the water with the nail gun, which worked with the helmet and all that stuff. And he fell over on the grill. And again, the sound is off. Oh, and his daughter comes out. And he tells his daughter, scene before, go get your bikini on, your bathing suit on. We're going to grill. So he gets killed. He's over the grill.
He says, get your grilling bikini on.
Does he?
Yeah. Nice. Your outdoor grilling bikini.
As a father would say to his mm-hmm. daughter. So she comes out in this bikini, and you're like, wow, she's hot. Oh, her dad's dead.
Yes.
So she comes out in the bikini and finds her dad dead, runs up to him.
Shakes him.
Shakes him, then runs away from him.
Then runs back to him.
And then runs back to him.
Shakes him again.
Yeah. And then runs away.
Yes.
That makes no sense.
There's a lot of that. And I'm trying to remember what the killer said when she killed him.
All right, let's find a good killer, a good quote from the killer. I don't know what the scene is, but I see a guy with a helmet and a nail gun.
Maybe she says, I've been dying to meet you. And then she says, but meet meaning both M-E-A-T and M-E-E-T. Because the grill.
And the guy's like, I don't get it. She's like, no, listen, there's two
It's a
forms.
Play on words, because it's like there's meat and there's meat.
Yeah, but I didn't really realize. Oh, that makes sense. It's funny. I'm going to die in like 2 seconds. It was good. There's a scene where two guys are having a nail gun fight. Again, I'm like, well, these nails in this movie instantly kill people. So it's not just like if you and I had a nail gun fight in real life, a nail would hit you in the arm or in your head and you'd be injured. They kill you in this movie. Somehow they're fatal. So they're having a fatal nail gun fight. The guy hilariously steps on a rake and fucks up his balls. Did you even see the rake?
I did see the rake, yeah.
And I didn't see it the first time I watched it.
You mean you didn't see it coming?
No.
You didn't see it before it hit him in the
No, maybe I looked away for a second and I was like, what happened to
it? It's a classic misdirect.
Like Bugs Bunny-esque. So they go into this frame of a house they're working on, and this is where they meet the killer.
Oh, no, you have to go back because you have to see how the killer enters the frame because it's very surprising.
Well, they're in an empty house. Like, it's just basically a frame of a house. There's no...
I know, but just watch.
Does it go back more than this?
Go back like a couple more seconds. They're just hanging out, talking, two best friends, having the time of their lives. One guy actually says, that was the most fun I've had since we raped that girl. He actually says that because these guys are fighting with a nail gun. Look, they're... And this is the first that the killer has actually addressed the fact that a woman was raped in the entire film. That these murders are in any way related to the rape. This is the first time that the killer has actually said that.
Right, and when the killer said it was 6 months ago, we don't know if that's 6 months since the beginning of the film. Like, how long these killings... There's no timeline in this movie. It makes no sense. No. Again, that's why people go to screenwriting classes. That's why people take books. They sell out and do the Hollywood thing. So you can establish things like establish the town, not necessarily open with the rape.
The name of any of the characters.
Establish some characters. You know, more than just, bitch, where my shirt at? You know, and then screaming and yelling. So the doctor, for some reason, he's the one who's going to solve this case, not the sheriff.
The doctor notices a pattern in these murders, which is that all of the murder victims are filled with nails.
Yeah.
He notices, after about eight of them, that there is a pattern emerging, and decides after consulting his computer that maybe a nail gun caused these deaths. That's what he decides. At first, he thought it was a hammer and some nails.
Yeah, they even say that. It's hammered and nailed them. Yeah, well, you're close.
Then he decides, okay, it's probably a nail gun. No hammer could have done this.
So let's talk about the ending of the film then.
Okay, so this is where I cut out. I did not get to see the ending. It was getting late. I was very bored.
You were bored?
Honestly.
You're sending me fuck you
text messages. My life is important to me. Yes, I was. But at that time, I was sending you fuck you text messages for making me watch this film.
I'm skipping around the movie, but the couple are having sex in the car. She's topless. Then she puts her bra back on. Then she walks over to the killer so she can lie there covered, naked.
Killer also drives a totally inconspicuous yellow hearse.
In a town where there's no people.
Yes.
Yeah. They find the car at some point. All right. Okay. I'm going to say this doesn't make sense, but... The car's abandoned. They find it. They don't run the plates.
No.
In the end of the movie, the killer's driving the car again. The sheriff is chasing the hearse around, and they go to an abandoned mine shaft where the killer falls. They try to do a really dramatic jump with the hearse.
The Dukes of Hazzard jump.
They try to do a Dukes of Hazzard jump.
This is just a taste of the kind of stuff you got.
So he's driving, but it's all like sand dunes.
Yes.
And he tried to do it. The director's saying he wanted to do a jump.
Right.
Like the hearse to fly in the air.
Sure.
But he didn't realize how heavy the car is.
It's hard to get that airborne.
Yeah. And how it's sand dunes. So the car just falls on his front, which actually looks still looks pretty cool. Mm-hmm. So the killer runs out. He's on top of something and then falls down.
Who's the woman there?
So the killer, who looks like a 12-year-old boy, right? Looks like a woman.
Yes. And what is this doctor going to do if he catches?
Why is the sheriff? Why isn't the sheriff chasing this guy? But the doctor is.
The sheriff probably can't run that fast.
Now the killer falls off this long high thing.
Okay.
To his or her death.
Maybe.
Yeah, we'll wait for the sequel. Then the daughter runs out.
That's the rape victim.
The rape victim runs out. So the rape victim is not the killer, Todd.
Wait a second here.
Yeah, the whole time you thought it was the.
So flummoxed in all my life.
You almost went through life not knowing who the real killer was.
It has to be her.
Why? Because it looks like a woman the entire film?
And because at one point she says, "Remember when you raped me?"
All right.
But she says it with a crazy synthesized voice.
So you don't
know. But she says, "Remember when you raped me?"
Yeah, and look at how small the killer is in this scene right now. She takes off the helmet.
It's her father.
Her father. Who is at least a foot taller than her in the rest of the film, but is a tiny person.
A lithe, feminine. He has a beautifully cinched waist.
He watches his figure. He eats lean cuisine. The guy doesn't eat after 3 p.m.
So her father was doing this to avenge her.
Yeah.
I see.
And that's why I played you that scene earlier on.
That's not especially interesting.
No.
You know, because I believe it.
What?
Are we supposed to think that, is it supposed to be really a mystery? If it's not her, it has to be him.
Well, the scene I played where he tells the guys to fuck off.
But we know if it's not her, it's him.
Yeah, but he says pretty much, "I'll see you first." You know, he tells the guys to kill him.
This is
fantastic, right?
I'm very upset.
Now, here's another thing that doesn't make any sense. She grabs the helmet. Mm-hmm. Her father's laying there dead.
Right.
Her and the sheriff.
And the doctor are all there.
Yeah. Her and the doctor, walk off into the sunset. It's actually a really cool shot he does, where you don't see anything and then you see them kind of walking through the sunset. But then that's supposed to somehow hint that she becomes the killer.
Because she has a helmet?
Because she drops the helmet at some point. The doctor says that ends the killing, and the sheriff says...
Does it? Or does it?
Yeah.
Or does it just begin it?
Is it over? Then we got the weird Skinamax music. See, hold on. They're walking. It's a terrible listening.
Got it.
See, the darkness.
Yes.
That's a cool shot, right?
That's a good shot. That's maybe the best shot in the film.
The doctor and her are walking off, and bad music starts when you realize they're holding hands. She's got the helmet.
Why are they holding hands?
Why is the doctor leaving the dead body there? And where are they walking to? The cars are behind them.
And why are they in love?
I don't know. They never met before. And apparently she drops the helmet, but I've not seen her drop the helmet. No,
she doesn't drop the helmet.
I know, but that's how we know that she's going to kill again, because...
There's no way to know she's going to... She's holding hands. She's in love. She's going to get married.
Why is she in love with the doctor?
I don't know.
They just met.
He is attractive. He takes care of himself. There's something about the killer's quips every time he murders somebody. It's almost like you could play an improv game where it's like, give me an activity and I'll give you how he wrote it. Yeah.
He went to some improv stage.
Come up with an activity and I will tell you how I'm going to address you as I'm murdering you.
Go ahead. Try it out.
Okay. This is going to be terrible. Billiards.
Billiards. All right. We're playing billiards. And who am I in the scene?
No, you're someone, somebody was playing billiards and you've just murdered them.
Oh, okay. I'll take that. Ladies and gentlemen, here we are. We're going to bring you to a billiards place. Hey, I'm playing billiards over here.
Adam, just tell me what you would say after you've murdered the person playing billiards.
Eight ball. That's all I got right now. No?
Oh, my God.
What would you say? Boo. All right.
How about this?
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Dead ball in the murdered pocket. That's what you'd say.
Is that what I would say?
Yeah, that's what you'd say.
Rack them up.
Wait, unlucky break.
That's what you would say. There you go. All right, it only took eight tries. Mm-hmm. All right, one more, one more.
Looks like you scratched.
That's good.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, good. Give me another activity. I could do this all day.
You're in a bakery.
Okay, and I'm being murdered in a bakery?
Yes.
All right. That's the way the cookie crumbles.
That's good. I was thinking bread, but you went to cookie. Yeah. That's good. That's good. I guess this bread won't rise.
Not bad.
Not bad. Thank you very much. I don't like mine with crust. I don't know.
What?
Listen, the guy's a good murderer, not a very good improviser. I mean, the guy's a genius in murdering people with nail guns.
Something smells. Something smells deathlicious. You might say that.
You might say that.
I don't think she would say that.
Hold Could on. I still get three cupcakes? Because they make great cupcakes. Even though you kill the person, you still want the cupcake. I mean, the people wait in line for hours for these cupcakes. In the place that I'm, the bakery I'm thinking of, that I created. Proctologist, please. Can we not hear proctologist every time
please,
we do an improv?
Please, that is so embarrassing. Oh,
all the time.
You know better.
Ask doctor. Ask
You're
doctor
so much better thing. Than this.
Oh, please. Is every improv show start out with, when I did improv, it was like, hey, we need an example, but you know, not proctologist or ask doctor. Let's find out something new in the year. Gynecologist. Fuck. All right, so let's say, Todd, do you recommend to people see this film? Should they or not? A fun, bad movie or just...
It is kind of, you know what? I hated it, but I was compelled to keep watching it until I felt sleepy. And if I had more time, honestly, if I had more time to watch it, I probably would have followed through and watched the
end. What are you doing? You're not working.
I am so working. But I, you know why? I liked it because it had very modest ambitions. You know, it's like it didn't take itself too seriously.
No.
It's just money shot after money shot after money shot. So yeah, it's worth sitting through.
Definitely worth sitting
Especially
through.
To find out who the killer is.
It's got twists and turns. Yeah. Oh, spoiler alert. Sorry.
You've already told everybody who the killer is.
Well, no, but now it's a spoiler. You can't get mad at me.
They think it's a man. You think it's a woman.
But when you watch it,
it is
the whole,
a man.
Yeah, the whole time you look
That's
at it,
That's
the
tagline
like,
for that movie.
We're going to confuse the shit out of you in this film. No, some of the taglines are, it's time to leave the toolbox in the shed. Or
I don't get that one at all.
That one I don't get.
Why is it time to leave the toolbox in the shed?
I don't know.
It's time to take the toolbox out of the shed and use it to murder people.
No, they're telling him not to kill people. They're saying to him...
No killer movie tells people not to kill people.
Like, with Jason, they say, it's just camp. That was the original for
was it really?
Friday the 13th. No. They're like, everyone
take it
had,
easy, it's just camp.
Easy. Everyone had a bad time at camp. Yeah,
that is not true.
That is exactly true. Did you ever see the Freddy movies?
Yeah.
You know the tagline for that was?
No.
Just let the kids sleep. It's hard enough to be a teenager. You have to chase them around. A little
I don't remember
long,
the taglines of serial killer movies admonishing the serial killer in any way.
Don't do it.
Like Halloween. It's such a nice time for the children. Why would you ruin it with your murdering shenanigans?
Yeah, Mike Myers, why don't you be the good Mike Myers one? Yeah. Chill out. And yes, and so the other things were like, he ain't got no chainsaw, meaning it's worse than Chainsaw Massacre.
That was one of the taglines.
Yeah. Also takes place in Texas.
It's lighter than a chainsaw.
There you go. Oh, there is a chainsaw scene.
There is. And the person who has the chainsaw could have killed, they could have ended this movie instantly by murdering the nail gun killer with a chainsaw.
You know, that's
chainsaw
funny.
Beats nail gun in any situation.
Especially since they're only a foot away from each other.
Okay. You just hit on something that I completely forgot to mention, but should have. It is very easy to outrun a nail gun.
You stand
bob
in front
and weave.
Of it.
You, but that's what happened in this movie. Every time the nail gun killer approaches somebody with a nail gun, usually the first reaction is, "Hey, man, this is pretty weird. What are you doing here?"
You construction
person,
worker?
Yeah, a person in camouflage pointing a nail gun at my face. Like, hey, this is pretty crazy. And then the person will say something scary, and they'll go, "No!"
But they're not moving.
No, they're just standing there holding their hands
the
above
hitchhiker.
Their face and going, "No!"
The car pulls up. The hitchhiker goes, "Hey, man, where are you going? Hey, what's with the weird outfit?" And the killer holds the gun at him, and he just goes, "No." He doesn't run away.
Yeah. This is not what I wanted to happen at all.
He says, "Cash, grass, or ass. I'll pay, man." No, so he just stands there. The chainsaw could have just chopped off the guy's hand and ended the film.
It really could have.
Or at least thrown it at him.
That's the guy that got, by the way, the guy with the chainsaw also gets nail gunned in his junk.
The first of many or the only one?
Oh, no, that's not the guy with the chainsaw. The guy who's urinating gets nail gunned in his junk.
Yeah, so when they find the dead bodies, they say to the doctor, "There's dead bodies. One is not wearing pants." And the doctor's look in his face is like, "Oh."
He's ashen.
Yeah, he's like, "Oh, my
he's
God."
He's like, I'm a doctor.
Damn it. Why are these guys having their junk out?
Yeah.
Yes, I do think you see the movie.
And that is a woman, right? The nail gun killer? I'm so convinced.
No, it's her father. And that's her father. This is a good idea for a sequel.
That would totally fuck her dad.
Her dad's pretty hot.
He's a beautiful ass.
Yep. His dad?
Yeah.
It's a very womanly figure.
Yes.
Yeah. There's a whole side plot that I don't know if you saw that they had to cut out where he shops in the women's section. And he's really embarrassed.
No, there isn't. No, there isn't.
I don't think there is. But there might be. So anyway, yes, please run out and buy Nail Gun Killer, which I bought on Amazon, which was $9. There's three.
It's only available through Amazon Mexico.
It was also on Blockbuster.com.
North American.
There was three people selling it. Two for $9, one for $99.99, which I think might have been a mistake.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I really was tempted to buy the $100 version of a $3 DVD that nobody wants. Thank you very much. And it's proudly presents. We taped at the RZO Hot House Productions down in Los Angeles. So they have a comedy show every, which Thursday of the month, Sam? First? Second? Third. Third Thursday of every month. They have a really good comedy show with free booze. So write me at reachadam@mac.com and we'll get you some tickets to come to the free show in downtown Los Angeles. Sam, thank you very much for coming out of nowhere.
Your podcast just went offline. That's what I would say.
You would say if you're
killing you while you're doing your podcast.
Right here?
Yeah, yeah.
Right now?
Yeah. Mm,
that's a good one.
You're offline, that's what I would say.
I'm trying to think of...
Stop staring at my breasts. I would say that too.
I'm a man.
Yeah. With
a,
isn't it obvious?
I have womanly hips.
By my break. Slender figure.
iTunes.
High waist.
How's that? Hmm? iTunes recommends. No, I'm really
What's
trying.
What's wrong with you?
I'm trying. Listen, I'm not a murderer. I cannot. I don't have those.
You'd be terrible at killing people with a nail gun.
How do you imagine you kill someone with a nail gun, then you'd say something really bad?
People would be waiting there. They'd be on death at death's door, and you'd be standing over them. Searching for something to say, and they'd be like, you've got to be fucking kidding me.
Like in the pizzeria, when I kill those people in the pizzeria, and they're lying there, and they go, you wanted pepperoni.
And they're like, I don't even understand what
that
means.
Doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
You know what I would need? I need the Sklar brothers. Like, they would make great killers, because they would finish each other's sentences.
Yes.
They would go in.
They'd never be at a loss for words.
Never. They would go into a pizzeria, and they would shoot twice as many pizza people, and they would say, we did this in less than a half hour.
You ordered yours with extra blood. That's what I would say.
Well, the Sklar, one would say extra and the other one would say blood.
Yes.
Yes, and then they would get a TV deal out of it, which for some reason has to do with sports.
On ESPN4.
Yeah, I don't know why that is. Yes. I have to cut all this
why
out
Why did this
now.
Become about the Sklars?
I'm really scared because they live not far from me and I have, you know, a new car.
Oh, okay.
And I'm worried about, you know, things getting trashed and they're notorious. They run this fucking town.
Okay.
Listen, I want to keep all my fingers.
You're not seeing double. This is what she'd say if she were killing the Sklars.
You're killing
Sklars. You're just, you're dying. And sometimes it seems like you're seeing things that you're not because your life is slipping out of your body.
You,
your life
which
is slipping
one
away
of you,
from you
is Randy. That's what I would say if I was killing Sklars. Because you never know which is the Sklar brothers, which is Jason.
This was meant for Jason. You'd say that.
And then hope that was Jason. Yeah. It's like... no, actually, I'm Randy.
Tell Jason he's next. Maybe that.
That's it. That's it. Which one is the one with the glasses?
Now who will finish your sentences?
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
And then he walks around not finishing what his thoughts.
that would be it. God's going to have to finish your sentences.
Ladies and gentlemen, Randy Sklar. Hey, I went to the bank the other day and the teller said, hey, everybody, why did the chicken cross the...
to get to the other side.
That's God finishing Randy Sklar's. I think you should give them a lot more credit. They're going to tell the chicken crossing the road joke?
No, they do a killer chicken joke. It's actually very good. All right, well, this will all be on the floor. Mm-hmm. So, Proudly Resents, go to ProudlyResents.com. Thank you for listening. Send me your ideas. And thanks to MIP Talk. MIPTalk.com is a really good podcast.
Why don't you email them to us?
Nice.
Thank you.
Email them to your ideas to reachadam@mac.com and go... check out this podcast called MIP Talk. It's really good. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to Proudly Resents. Make a comment or suggest a film at reachadam@mac.com. That's reachadam@mac.com. Twitter is @reachadam. Join us on Facebook or be old school and go to our website, ProudlyResents.com. If you like the show, put the episode up on your Twitter, Facebook, StumbleUpon, Dig, you know, all those things. Tell a friend, I'm Eddie Pepitone, and my Twitter account is @EddiePepitone.